I'm Simon Halbert. You're visiting showbizmonkeys.com. Get in touch with your inner monkey.
Around this town, I'm all right. Around this town, I'm all right. I mean, no consequence when you playing with the fire. Move to the left, man.
Hi, Erica.
Hello. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Not bad. How are you doing this morning?
I am superb. Is it morning where you are?
Technically for another 25, 35 minutes, yeah.
Excellent. Where are you?
I'm in Vancouver.
Ah, superb. Well, so, we are in Montreal, so we're kind of bookending the world.
So I'd like to just first ask you, how did you first get involved in joining Cirque du Soleil?
I was a gymnast for 11 years growing up, and I had been in and out of theater since I was a kid, as well as vocal music. So I took an interest in Cirque du Soleil as soon as I heard of the fact that this place existed that had kind of married like theater as well as acrobatics as well as music and was doing it at this extraordinary, crazy artistic level, and took a great interest in it. So I ended up auditioning right after high school. I literally flew out to Las Vegas after I graduated and ended up doing a meeting with somebody from Cirque. They called me back, and I think that October I went and did a full audition. And then they called me and said, we would like to offer you a contract in the Stair, so please be in Montreal in 2 weeks, and you will go straight from there to Las Vegas and probably never go home again. That's how it happened.
So had you seen Cirque du Soleil growing up, or was your first experience with it when you auditioned?
It was actually the day after I graduated high school, I got to see the Stair. And I had seen, I think at the time, because that would be like very early, like 2001, I guess.
Right.
But at that time they were doing, they had shown some shows on Bravo. And that was literally all that I had seen. It was really just an idea to me. I didn't have a lot of exposure to it because we weren't really a wealthy family that did a whole lot of vacationing or going to the theater. Like we really appreciated arts. It just wasn't really within our realm.
Right.
So that was my first time seeing it live was the day that I met with them, and I walked out with my jaw on the floor just thinking that it would be so extraordinary if I could ever, ever just meet somebody like that who was in a show, because they seemed to me to be so much larger than life, and like they must be the special breed of human that I could never be cool enough to meet, you know?
Right. Now the movie contains set pieces from most of the current Las Vegas residency shows. Do you think this approach works better for a 3D film and say maybe taking one show and just filming that?
I think what they wanted to do was give an opportunity for Cirque du Soleil and Las Vegas shows in particular to be accessible to a larger audience. And while you do have, they call them kind of within the Cirque world, captations, which is when they film one show, and they'll often make a DVD and it'll be shown on Bravo or picked up by fans, and it's a really cool thing. But I think that they were really excited about the opportunity to not just show the world that what they were already doing, but I think it's Cirque's nature to always want to innovate and to be creative and use it as an opportunity to flex another creative muscle. So they brought Andrew Adamson on board, and he had this vision for how he could create this narrative tale that would be set inside the world of Cirque du Soleil rather than just about, you know, the acts of Cirque du Soleil. I think they wanted it to be more than just a straight-up performance film.
Now, Cirque is known for its visual spectacle. How does this sort of translate to a movie screen?
Visually, it's breathtaking. It's unbelievable. I think that we're lucky that it's 2012 and the 3D technology has gotten to where it is. It seems kind of like the perfect time to do it because the clarity is unbelievable. I saw it in IMAX last night, and it was, it's crazy. It's beautiful, beautiful in 3D, but in IMAX, you really feel like the water from the Osho is reaching all the way out to your seat, and I was shocked. I've actually seen the film now probably 5 or 6 times, and I got goosebumps watching it again last night because visually it's unfreaking believable. But that, I guess, is what happens when you pair, you know, when you bring James Cameron in and let him just kind of go to town going crazy, putting cameras 70 feet in the air and under the stage, left to the right, and all over the place within a Cirque theater.
Yeah, and it is with James Cameron and James Cameron's technology, like the 3D is probably way better than anyone else could do. Because some of the problems with 3D is like when they don't think to film it in 3D at the start, and then they just can't get the same look.
So crisp and precise, and they were so obsessed with, he's a very, very meticulous person, and I can see why he was kind of a half scientist, half sort of storyteller that really brought 3D into its current glory.
Right.
Because he knows how to work it, and it's complicated, man. Like, shooting in 3D is a much more complicated process than shooting in regular.
Now, in the movie, you play Mia, one of the two main characters that sort of takes the audience through this carefully constructed world. Were you nervous at all about being such an important lead in the film as opposed to like just one of the background artists?
Absolutely terrified. I mean, honored and really excited and all of that. But one, it was going to be a huge project and a major departure from the stage kind of acting that I was used to doing. But two, having performed with Cirque du Soleil in Las Vegas for 10 years, everybody else, all these extraordinary athletes and performers are like family and friends to me. So I was really nervous about representing them because it's no small feat to do them justice because they're extraordinary. Many of them are among the most talented people on the planet.
Now, you've appeared on the stage for 10 years, like you said, and now you're in the film. Did you prefer working in one medium over the other, or was there just differences that you liked?
I think they're just apples and oranges in that way. There's an instant gratification to stage where whether or not the audience is being verbally responsive, you can feed off of their energy. You can kind of feel them. There's a give and take. It's almost like there's a relationship that you have with the public when you're performing for them live. But it's also this really fleeting kind of ethereal thing where what you do for a living and what you create only exists for the moment that you're making it, the moment that you're actually performing it. And then after that, it's only memories and feelings and whatever that stands the test of time. Then film is the opposite in the way that there is no instant gratification. You know, you do a take, and then you do a take, and you do a take, and you can maybe look at some of the playback, but you're not even shooting in order. You might do the last scene first, and the 17th scene, 22nd, and whatever. So you're not feeling the project come together. But then you have this tremendous thing where the work that you've done and the work that all these incredible, talented people have put into it now has a home where it's going to exist in perpetuity. And there's value to both sides. I actually really like both, and it would be very difficult to have to make a choice between which world if you could only play in one.
Now, do you have a favorite sequence in the movie?
Some of my favorite moments in the film are surprisingly not acrobatic. There are just moments that the characters, the costumes, like the makeup of Cirque du Soleil, I think sometimes gets a little lost on these giant, massive stages. It's cool to see the detail. And then favorite moment, there's two in particular that they're really, really simple, small things. But there's a scene from an Acton call called The Wheel of Death where one of the Aldegria brothers is swinging outside of the wheel that he's been inside. It'll make sense if you see the film.
Okay.
But as he does that, they slow it down to a number of frames per second where we can see the gravity that is fighting against him and kind of the strength and the detail of the work that he's doing to stay on the apparatus. And I've seen that number performed live literally thousands of times because I was in that show. I never knew it looked like that. I never knew that that's specifically what he was doing. And there's just a really brief 1 second thing at a scene in O where this girl's being flung up from this guy's hands and she's landing on a platform that's about 4 inches wide. And you don't know from the audience that what she's doing is so difficult because you just assume that she's got 3 feet, you know,
yeah,
to find her footing.
Some of the Cirque shows have a bit of a sexual content, including the one that apparently that is playing in Vancouver. Is there anything in the movie that might not be appropriate for younger audiences, or is it sort of toned down?
I think they were really wise, because actually, are you familiar with the show Zumanity?
A little bit. I'm not sure which one I saw when I went to Vegas, but it may have been that one.
You would know if you saw Zumanity, because there's lots of boobs, and it's very much a fantasy show. It's the sensual side of Cirque du Soleil. But the film features an act from Zumanity, but they created a new costume for the character, And they just modified it slightly, just the style of performance, the intention with which she does it. It's this really extraordinary contortion, hand balancing number in this water bowl apparatus. And while it has sexual undertones in the show, it doesn't at all in the film. It's really something you can take your grandmother and your 5-year-old child to and not have to be concerned for even a moment that they're going to see something you wouldn't want to share with them. Like, it really was designed to be a family film, which is why I think it's such a great thing to be coming out around Christmas, because it's something you can all go do together, and you don't have to worry about it in the least.
Now, that actually leads me into my last question. The Christmas season, as you know, is super crowded with movies, everybody fighting for the same box office dollars. Why should audiences choose to see this film over some of the others?
I think Cirque du Soleil Worlds Away is a unique cinematic experience in the way that it's different. I mean, there's comedies and there's dramas and there's a million different things, but it's this kind of cool new concept of this hybrid performance slash narrative piece. But it's not really a concert film that you can go and experience this live in the format that it exists. And it's just something cool to share with the family. The other thing is that there's something really universal about just extraordinary feats of human ability, as well as it all being wrapped up in a love story, which I think is something that everybody can relate to. And I feel like it's really uplifting that, for me, it brought back the magic of Cirque du Soleil, which is a world that had become so familiar to me. But I kind of hope that it will give people an opportunity just to feel inspired. Whatever it is they want to do, there is an extraordinary world that's bigger and different and perhaps a bit shinier than the one that we choose to live in every day. And that's sort of the journey that my character goes on. And I hope maybe it'll give people a little inclination to look for the shininess in their lives.
ShowbizMonkeys.com.